Second Peter chapter 1. And let's see that all these things, whatever we need in this life, everything in the future, in the present, even in the past, He packaged. We've been enjoying things God has done before He made the heavens and the earth. For all the works are finished at the foundation of the world. And so, please let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Please let's go. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let's read verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen and amen. So from those two verses, we've seen it that everything we'll ever need on the face of the earth, God has already given them to us. Every help, every breakthrough, every blessing, they are already given to us all in Christ Jesus. And so we have to know Him. And then everything in Christ is according as it is written. So through the word of God, we partake, we receive everything God has given to us in Jesus' name. And so God had made provision for your life and for my life. All our descendants, God had made provision all of our days, and all we have to do is use the word of God to receive everything already given to us in Jesus' name. Now you understand why we sang that song, to thank Him for all these things, all what He has done. We thank Him. Please let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give all the glory for your loving kindness, for your love. You have said it in your word that you will not withhold any good thing from us. And so we know you have already given us all your goodness, everything that pertains to life and godliness, all the help, all the blessings. Thank you for giving them to us, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you as you guide us through your word, how to contend, how to possess the possessions that you have given to us. Lord, thank you as you open the eyes of our understanding. Thank you in the name of Jesus as you guide us through the scriptures. Lord, we know that we will not live here the same way as we have come. Thank you for touching our lives, every life in this church, every household. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And everyone says amen. Hallelujah. Please let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. We've heard how God has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness, everything we will ever need, He has supplied. All the healing, all the health, all the blessings, breakthroughs, everything He has already supplied to you and I. He has given to you and I the promised land, really. Everything, He has packaged the blessing. He has packaged words of blessings. He has packaged breakthroughs. Every day of our lives, we receive all these things from God at the appropriate time. Remember, His mercy is upon the works of His hands, and daily He loads us with His benefit. God knows what we need at every stage of life. And He knows how to supply. In fact, He has already supplied. Out of what He has given to us, He will manifest at the appropriate time. But there's one thing we have to do. Please let's read Deuteronomy chapter 2 from verse 24 to 25. Please let's go. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Amen. We thank God that that is the Lord's commandment to all his sons, not only Israel, but you and I, who are his sons in Christ Jesus. He says, rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. The message we are looking at is contend to possess your blessings. Contend to possess your blessings. Contend to possess your blessings. And I tell you, because we are sons of God, the enemy is already afraid of us. Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? I tell you, the enemy, they tremble. Because Christ in you, your hope of glory, you and I, we have Christ in us. And so Christ is what the enemy sees, and he trembles. Look at that verse 25 again. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall what? Tremble and be in anguish because of thee. So you can see that all of our days on the face of the earth, as sons of God in Christ Jesus, the enemy, according to God, is afraid of you and I. And I tell you, we've seen it, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we have to what? Arise, contend. We have to contend with him in battle. Who is the him? The principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, devil and his kingdom, and not human beings, not flesh. Flesh and blood are not our enemies, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And so again, we see the key. God had given us everything we need in this life. Even our children, our descendants, everything we would need. Whether we need healing, whether we need health, breakthroughs, all sorts of blessings, God had supplied everything in Christ Jesus. But we have to contend. Tell somebody, you have to contend. So as to possess your possession. You have to contend. And so how do we contend? Please, let's before we leave that area, let's look at Isaiah chapter 49. You will see that when the Lord says we should contend with the enemy, he has made it clear that the battle is the Lord's. He's the one who will actually put the enemy to flight. But he needs you and I to do one unique thing. Please let's read Isaiah chapter 49, verses 25 and 26. Please let's go. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen and amen. And so again, you see, he says that he will contend. He will contend with him that contended with thee. Now you understand why the Lord said we should contend with the enemy. Because the enemy is always in contention against us. We've seen it in Revelation chapter 12, that the enemy is at war against those that hold to the testimony of Jesus. Those who love truth, those who hold on to truth. He's at war against you and I, because he knows God has definitely blessed us, that we are mightily blessed. We are surely blessed. And so he's contending that we will not get that blessing already given to you and I. He's contending against you and I from receiving the blessings of God. And so you have to understand that the enemy is contending against us. We have to contend against him. But we have one who will do it for us, our God in Christ Jesus. But there's something that the Lord needs us to do. Let's give an example now. No matter how much we love our children, we encourage them to read, we train them, they still have to go into the exam hall to sit the exams themselves. You can't go and write the exam for your child or for a friend. No, you can only, you know, teach, you encourage, you make sure they manage their time. But the actual sitting of the exam, it is still the student. It is still the child. And it's the same thing too. God will help us. But you know, the child too has to be willing to go and sit the exam and to pass. And it's the same thing too. God, who will contend against the enemy on our behalf, needs us to do something to show that we are willing to receive all what he has given to us. Please let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, and we will see a great key there. How we contend, how we fight against the enemy is not physical. It's not going all over the place looking for the enemy. No, there's a way we fight. Please, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Please, let's go. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Please, let's go again. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen and amen. See a key. Fight the good fight of faith. We all know without faith it is impossible to please God. So the person that will fight the enemy for you and I needs faith. He needs us to be standing in faith. Remember, Moses stood on that hill while Joshua and the army were fighting. Moses stood. He was standing while the army of God was fighting. Standing. You and I need to be standing too by faith. Faith that access grace to stand spiritually. So every time Moses raised up his hand, the army was what? Victorious. But every time his hands were down, the army was losing. And so Caleb and Aaron held Moses' hands up to stand. Aaron and Ur. So the hands were raised up throughout till the battle was won, interpreted as the faith, the shield of faith, raising up the shield of faith, the standard of faith, the word of God, raising him up. But you and I have to be doing that raising up of the shield of faith. How? We look into the word of God daily. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you can see we need to fight the good fight of faith. That's how we will contend. We fight the good fight of faith. And somebody fighting the good fight of faith, let's look at the last sentence in that verse. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, you maintain your confession of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore speak. You can't say you have faith and you don't speak. And then your faith has to be genuine, a genuine faith, and a faith that is increasing daily will maintain the confession of faith by the same Holy Spirit. So you see how we contend. We fight the good fight of faith. In other words, we are looking into the word of God daily, believing the words of blessing, the words of our lives, the words of breakthroughs, the words of healing, the words of health, the words of favor, the words of God's plans for our lives. So we keep looking into the word of God and believing by faith. And after some time, faith is increasing, the Holy Spirit will start to speak these very words from our heart. And then we must not let go of looking into the word of God. We continue to look so that we continue to speak throughout. That is how we contend with the enemy. That is how we fight the good fight of faith, maintaining the profession, the word of God, not speaking negative or the problems of life. No, speaking the word of faith. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe, and according as it is written, we speak. We have to understand these basic things. We fight the good fight of faith. Always understand that we are co-laborers with God in everything of life. We are what? Co-laborers. God will not just override your will and come and do his thing in your life. No, we are co-laborers. Our duty is to always be in faith, speaking the words of faith, doing the words of faith, which is what? Obedience. Speaking, doing, thinking the words of faith, always looking forward, hoping in the fulfillment of the words of faith. That is how we contend with the enemy. the same precious words, the same word of God, the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, Old King James. It is what we should know and have in our heart and be speaking at all times. That is how we fight. We fight the good fight of faith. That is how we contend with the enemy. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need God to contend with him. And he has to find faith. When he comes in on the scene of our lives to help us, he has to find us in faith. Similar to how we cannot go and do the exam for someone, so also God cannot force himself upon you and I. We have to be in faith. And faith is our agreement that he should fight for us. We have to understand that. Please write it down. Faith is the agreement that he should fight for us. When he sees faith, we have given him the go-ahead to fight for us. When he sees your faith and my faith, he knows we want his blessings. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. And so again, we see faith is of God, remember? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith, when there is faith in our heart, is the evidence that we've been looking into the word of God and that we believe. And when we believe, we're saying we have accepted his plans. We have accepted his help. We have accepted his blessings. We have accepted that what he has done and given to us, we want it. And so again, we have to understand these things. No matter how much you plan for your child has to be willing. Your child has to be willing. No matter how much you plan for yourself, in quote, there's still something. If the plan is of God, there's still a willingness to accept, a willingness to agree. We are all children of God, but he will not override the power of choice that he has given to you and I. Please, let's open to Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. So you see, we contend for the word of God, that yes, we will hold on to it, we will keep believing it, we will not doubt, we will not waver. That is the contending for the faith. That is the fight we need to fight against the enemy, in quote. Jude 1 verse 3, please let's go. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So you see again, in contending for the faith, it is you now making sure you believe the right thing and you hold on to your belief no matter the situation in this life. You keep holding on. That is you contending to possess your blessings, the promises of God, they are yea and amen in our lives in Christ Jesus. In other words, if we need help, we look into the word of help and we know it, we believe it by faith, and we keep holding on to it. Even in the midst of contrary situation, we keep holding on to the word of God. That is contending for faith. That is fighting the good fight of faith. That is you and I contending against the enemy. Amen, amen, amen. Now, what we need to understand is the enemy, he has weapons which he will fight, he will use against you and I, so that we will not be in faith if we allow him. Part of the weapons he will use is doubt, double-mindedness, wavering, and unbelief. Doubt, double-mindedness, wavering, unbelief. The enemy will do things. He will speak words so as to create doubt, wavering, double-mindedness, and unbelief in the soul. He will use the natural things. He will misinterpret the natural things so as to create doubt, so as to create double-mindedness, so as to create unbelief and wavering. We have to understand all these things. For example, if we look at the stories of father of faith, Abraham, Jairus, and the woman with the issue of blood, and the demon-possessed boy. If we look at all these stories together, what you will see is things that were designed to hinder their faith. In other words, things designed to create doubt, wavering, double-mindedness, and unbelief. Let's first start with the story of the demon-possessed boy. Please, let's open to Mark chapter 5 so that we understand truly how to contend and fight the good fight of faith. Remember, all these people we have listed were people in need. They needed some things from God. Abraham needed a son. The father of the demon-possessed boy needed his child to be free of the dumb spirit. The woman with the issue of blood needed to be free of just flowing blood from herself. She had a medical problem, we will say. And then Jairus, his daughter, was sick. What are we saying? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, isn't it? But the Lord God delivers him or her from them all. We are seeing people in need, all sorts of need. Barrenness in a marriage, then, a child in trouble, then the medical problem of the woman, and then a sick child. All this. We see various things the enemy brings against you and I. But we know God had said concerning you and I that we are to enjoy days of what? heaven on earth, and we give God all the glory. Amen, amen. And so, Mark chapter 5, let's look at verse 25. Now, you will see the man left his home. Sorry, that's the one of the woman with the issue of blood. Okay, verse 25 says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, see that somebody going through just bringing out blood from the reproductive system for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now, see a great key. That is a great hindrance. All what she's been hearing was bad news. The physicians will say, no help for her. Whose report are you going to believe? The report of the Lord, isn't it? But look, she kept receiving negative reports. 12 years on the same thing. Blood issuing forth. And she was on it for 12 years. Now you can see a great hindrance for her to give up and say, oh, nothing, even Christ cannot help. And so again, you see a pattern. You see a pattern. And then, please, let's open to Mark chapter 9. Let's look at the case of the demon-possessed boy. Mark 9 from 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Please underline that. I spake to your disciples to cast him out, and they could not. So you can see the father left his home with the boy with the words in his heart, the disciples of Jesus will cast out the boy. I mean, the dumb spirit in the boy. So he spake those words to them, cast out this dumb spirit from my son. But their own faith was not strong, or faithlessness. But look at a key. They could not cast it out. And that became a hindrance. For now, look at what he said unto Christ. Let's drop down to verse 22. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now see a change in confession. This is someone who said, cast out the dumb spirit from my boy. But now look at what he's now saying. If you can do anything, because they could not cast it out, hindrance, wavering. What are we saying is the same thing. We have to maintain the confession of faith. Of course, the enemy will always bring things to try to change the confession of our faith. But look at what our Lord, always know that if you are growing in faith, no matter what comes against you, no matter the hindrances, Christ is available to help you once you are willing. We cannot maintain the confession of faith by self. All the things we have to understand that we cannot do the word of God. It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He will strengthen us. He will help us. And so no matter how much faith we are growing in, we have to understand the faith is of Christ. And even when we are wavering, always understand that he will supply the necessary strength. Remember, the young shall grow faint, isn't it? Even the strong shall be weary, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. And we see how, because this man, his heart was on Christ, Christ helped him. And so again, verse 23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we see the father made the choice to believe. I'm willing to believe. Help me to believe. I'm willing to believe. Help me to believe. And so in the midst of the troubles of life, it is not pride to, okay, I have to show faith. No, the faith is of God's. And it is he who will add unto us more faith, and it is he who will add unto us power to do what we cannot do. And so again, look at verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Unbelief set in after he told the disciples to cast out. You see, he was speaking by faith. Cast out this dumb spirit from my boy. And when they could not do it, wavering, unbelief started to set in. But we thank God that he had made the choice that no matter the situation, I want to believe the word of God. That is the key. No matter the situation, make that choice that I want to. I'm willing to believe the word of God. Help me. And I tell you, what is missing in our faith, he will supply. So, in the midst of the troubles of life, let us be asking him for help, even to hold on. Even to continue to believe. We may be believing the Lord for something, and then contrary things are saying you can't have it. It can't be done. Ask God immediately for help. Lord, I want to believe your word that you've already done it for me. Help thou my doubt. Help thou my double-mindedness. Help thou my unbelief in the name of Jesus. And he will supply the strength. And so you see how the Lord helped the demon-possessed boy's father to continue to be in faith. Same way too, we know, father of faith, there was a time he too was in doubt. We know he was looking at the fact that Sarah is old and is no longer with her, as is the nature of women. And then he himself is old, but look at it, God supplied faith that had great grace. He had power power supplied to his mind that took his mind away from the old age and the state of Sarah. You see, it is not by might, it is not by power, but by the Spirit of God. The mind is programmed in the fallen state to look at the problems of life and decide that there's no help. So his mind was looking at the state of Sarah, who is barren and without the way of women. It has stopped with her. She's now really, really old. And he himself is now really, really old. So the mind is programmed to focus. The fallen mind is focused on the things in the physical and to believe the things in the physical. But when we make the choice that no matter what, and we keep going to God, crying for help, and we say, look, no matter what, I've made a choice to believe the word of God, God will supply his strength, his power to the soul. And the soul, that power will focus the soul onto the word of God. That power will remove the soul's focus on the negative or what is discouraging you, and focus it on the word of God. The same way God supplied strength. Please let's read Romans chapter 4 so that we will understand what the Lord is showing to you and I. There will always be hindrances. The enemy me has set himself to contend. He does not want us to receive the promises of God, the manifestation, the fulfillment of the things of the promises of God in our lives. And so he will try to do all things to discourage us. But if we continue in the word of God at the appropriate time, when we cry out to God for help, especially the soul, which is the seat of the battle, the enemy will try to get the soul to believe the wrong things. He will try to create doubt, double-mindedness, wavering, and unbelief in the soul. But we, if we continue in the word of God, then we cry out to him for help. Strengthen me in the soul so that I continue to believe you. He will do so. We have to understand God's power for little things is available. God's power for big things is available. God will help us to contend against the enemy. He will help us to maintain the profession of our faith. He will help our soul. God's power is available for our soul in the midst of the troubles of life. Please let's read Romans chapter 4. Let's zero down to verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See a key. It was not him who prevented himself from looking at their state. No, it is the power of God. You can see the strong faith. Faith that accesses the power of God for his soul. We have to understand these things. We cannot prevent ourselves from doubt. We cannot prevent ourselves from wavering, from being double-minded. But the power of God is there for the soul. We cannot not prevent our soul by ourselves from going into unbelief. But the power of God is there. So you can say strong faith. Faith that accesses grace or power or strength of God. And now we understand. Please let's open to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 10 to 13, please. So you can see that the soul that is prone to doubt, the soul that is prone to wavering, double-mindedness, unbelief, there's help, there's the power of God available. All what you and I have to do, we continue to look into the Word of God, allow faith to keep flowing into our lives, and then make the choice that no matter what, I want to believe the Word of God. I'm sure the Bible is the Word of God. I've made a choice that in every situation in this life, I will believe the Word of God. I will continue to believe. And then you ask God for help. God is the helper of what? The helpless. So you ask him for help. Lord, I want to believe. Help thou my unbelief. You see, we fail to understand the help for the soul, for the man who had the father with the demon-possessed boy, and also father of faith, Abraham. The strength of God is available. The strength of God is available. Sometimes we will need to really ask God that, Lord, you have said this is what to do. I want to do it. I've made the choice to do it. Help me to do it. Simple prayer. And I tell you, he will supply the grace. I want to believe your word. Lord, help me to believe. And he will supply. I want to keep holding on. The word of promise, you will do it. You will sort me out. I know that. Help me to keep believing. Help me to keep holding on. And I tell you, simple things, he will do it. He knows we will come across all these hindrances. And so he's there to help us, even in our belief and in maintenance of our confession. He's there to help us. Please let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 to 13. Please let's go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. And so, you see a great key. The wiles, all those hindrances, all those unbelief, wavering, double-mindedness, doubt, they are all the wiles of the devil. They are the result of all what he is doing to try to get us not to receive what God has said we will receive. If it's healing, he will create things. But we have to start asking God for help in little things, in big things, whether we need favor, healing, we want more health, we want the blessings of God, let us, when we come against contrary situation, let us be quick to ask Him for help. Help thou my doubt. Help thou my double-mindedness. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my wavering in the name of Jesus. And just continue to study the word and pray. Even when we find it difficult to obey God in any area, we need to start asking Him, help that I want to obey. Help me to obey. And He will supply the strength. He will supply the strength. He will supply the strength. Let's go back to Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. Please, let's open to Mark chapter 5. And of course, we see it with Jairus. His daughter was sick, isn't it? And so he went to Christ. It's the same thing too. When we are praying to Christ in the midst of the troubles of life, we have to understand Jesus is right in front of us. The same way, the only difference is that He was dwelling in the earthen vessel, but yet is the same person who is in our midst. He's the same person with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. And so where we find it difficult to hold on to the word of our profession, let us be quick to ask Him for help. I want to believe you have healed me, you have made me whole. Help thou my unbelief. I want to believe that you have made way where there seemed to be no way. Help thou my unbelief in the name of Jesus. And so these little things we overlook, and yet they are the most important, because hindrances will always come against us receiving the blessings of God. The enemy is always contending with us, but we thank God that we have one who is always helping us, making sure we are standing. All we have to do is ask Him for that strength. Not to be double-minded, not to doubt, not to waver, not to go into unbelief. And so again, we see Jairus left his home to go and ask Christ for help for his daughter. And so he was there. He had already spoken. And so you can see he spake the words of faith. He spake the words of faith. Please, let's look at verse 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall what? Live. So you can see that is what is in his heart. That is what he spake out by the Spirit of God. But on the way, guess what happened? You know, another person came, but you will think, oh, is that an hindrance? Many of us will be thinking, look at, he should come quickly, otherwise things will go wrong. But we thank God, the woman too had been going through a lot of things. The enemy was waging war against her. But we know, look at, she said, if only I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And she maintained that confession till she met with the glory of God. And I tell you, the glory of God is always in our midst. You have to maintain your profession of faith. No matter what the enemy threw at her, remember 12 years, all the bad news from the physician, she continued to press on to Christ. So it's the same thing too. No matter what you've been going through, no matter how long, that profession of faith you have to maintain. And then if you are finding it difficult, ask him to help you. Set your heart, make your choice that no matter what, you will believe the word of God. And of course, when you are finding it difficult, ask him for help. I want to believe. I've set my mind to believe you. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my doubt. And he will do it. And so, it was not the woman maintaining her own profession. That's what you have to understand. It is the power of God. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore speak. Just as we saw the father with the demon-possessed boy, he wavered. I'm sure she too must have wavered at some stage. After all, father of faith, Abraham, wavered, isn't it? And so we all will waver. A little doubt will creep in. Unbelief into the soul. That's where we need to ask Jesus for help. And so you can see, for her to maintain that confession and she got her healing is the power of God. We have to understand faith is not of us. The power of God is not of us. We have to learn to humble ourselves and be asking him for help in little things, in big things, even with our thoughts, even with our what we intend to do. We have to cultivate the divine habit of asking him for help in the name of Jesus. And so Jairus, he himself, he was there, and then bad news came. The child is dead. Is that not a confession changing situation? But look at how our Lord Jesus, who is the power of God, look at what he said. Please let's read verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And when he said, be not afraid, power to not be afraid entered into the soul of Jairus. You have to understand, as God speaks, his word is what? Life. His word is power. His word entered into the soul of Jairus to not be afraid. As God had spoken, be not afraid, only believe. So you can see help from God for us to maintain our confession is available. Only make that choice. That no matter what, I will continue to believe. I'm willing to believe God all of my days on the face of the earth. And any time doubt sets in or you become... Instead of saying, how long? Say, Lord, help me to keep holding on. Help me to continue to believe. Help my unbelief. Help my doubt. And I tell you, he will help you. He will help you and I. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Please, let's look at... Hebrews chapter 10, please write Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, we all know, ask. In fact, let's look at it. We all know, ask anything. Little things. Walking with God is not pride at all. No, we have to humble ourselves. Walking with our God is not an issue of trying to show that, okay, you are strong spiritually or you have great faith. No, humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil, isn't it? And God will what? Lift us up. And so you see a key. Walking with God is not pride at all. It's not a religious exercise. It's not trying to show you are holy or you are righteous or you have great faith. No. It is humbling ourselves to receive help in every area of life. Lord, I find it difficult to believe. I have made a choice to believe. Help thou my unbelief in the name of Jesus, and he will help you. Simple. So you can see, walk of faith is not an act. It's not trying to show that, okay, I obey God, okay, I am of faith. No. It is falling on the rock and asking him for help. Please, let's read Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 11. Please, let's go. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I tell you, what we're asking is help to continue to believe, to continue to hope in him. And it's a good thing, because God loves his children to what? Believe him. He loves his children to believe him. Please, let's open to Isaiah chapter 26, and we will see it there that the power of God is available for the soul. In fact, before we look at that, let's look at Psalm 138. The power of God for the soul is available. Remember, the soul is not born again. So the soul is prone to doubt. The soul is prone to wavering, unbelief. The soul is prone to double-mindedness. And we thank God that the power of God is available. But we have to continue in the Word of God daily, so that when we are praying, we have access to his power for the soul in things we are believing him for. Power for the soul is available. But remember, they that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. So as you continue to study the Word of God, you're also praying. And so you ask him, I want to believe. Help thou my unbelief. And he will supply that power. Remember, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is also on us, and he's with us. And so when we pray, don't ever feel lonely. Look into the scriptures. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never what? Fail you. And he says, Christ in us, our hope of glory. In other words, we partake of that glory in every area of our lives. And part of what the glory supplies is the power, the grace. And so again, please let's read Psalm 138. Let's go. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Please note that verses 2 and 3. The word of God and then the strength of God. So you can see that the father with the dumb spirit boy cried out for help. Lord, I want to believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. In other words, was help me to continue to believe that you can do it. Because he left home with the word in his heart, Jesus will cast out, himself and his disciples will cast out the dumb spirit from my son. And so, what are we saying? Situations in life will attempt to change our confession of faith. But we have to ask him for help, Jesus for help. That is part of him helping us to contend with the enemy. And so again, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Please let's flip forward to Proverbs 3, I think. Yes, is also there too. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We all know that. You see, the soul would tend to lean on the physical. But the power of God is available for the soul not to lean on the physical, but to lean on the word of God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Please let's go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. See, lean not. You see, when he says, lean not unto your own understanding, those words are filled with power. In other words, the soul will not lean on what it is seeing. The soul will lean on the word of God. And that is part of the work of the power of God. God has power to take your soul from thinking about a situation and direct it to his word. Power belongs to God. With God, all things are possible. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 26. So you can see the power of God is available. If you are thinking too much about a situation, ask God for help. Ask him for grace not to think on that thing and to now think on good things, the promises of God. We have to be asking him for all these little things we have overlooked. Isaiah chapter 26. Please let's read verses 3 and 4. Please let's go. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's read it again. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In other words, he supplies because you keep watching daily. He will supply strength as you ask him. He will supply peace to your soul. He will supply his strength that will move your soul from that thing you are worried about, and your soul will be at peace. These are the works of God in Christ Jesus. And then you will find out that you will not be speaking that thing again. Gradually, the strength of God will be made manifest. And you will not worry. You will not be speaking those things again. Peace. For the peace of God is with the strength of God. He's strengthening your soul unto peace. Let's give him all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will continue with this some other time. But let's ask him now. Let's first thank him for his word. I tell you, he is a promise in every situation of life, in every problem of life. God has said he will keep us in peace. Our soul will be at rest. Our soul will continue to believe him. Our soul will be at rest in the midst of the troubles of life, so that we will continue to maintain the profession of faith. We will continue to speak the words of God that he will perform, or is already performed, he will make manifest at his appointed time of life. In the midst of the troubles of life, he has the power to remove doubt, to remove double-mindedness, wavering, and unbelief of the soul from our lives in the name of Jesus, so that we will continue to believe by faith and keep speaking the words of faith. And when the Son of Man comes, he will manifest the word of faith that we are speaking. And so let's thank him. And so even in that same attitude, everything that we've been believing the Lord for, all those things that we are sure, according as it is written, that he has promised us he will perform, and it's been 10 years, 20 years we've been waiting. Now ask him for them. Ask him to help you to believe again. Ask him to help your soul not to doubt again. And then ask him for those things. I tell you, God wants to restore to every one of us the years the locust had eaten, the palma worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar, all those things that they were burning in our hearts, and we knew they're of God. And then over the years we've allowed our faith to waver. Now tell him that you are believing him for those things once more, and that you believe, and that he should help thou your doubt, help thou your unbelief, and that you know he has performed it and you have received. All those things we call dead dreams. No. With God, they are still alive. It is you and I who allowed doubt to set in. So now let us return back. Ask him to help us. We have chosen to believe. Help thou our unbelief, Lord Jesus. And so simple, let us humble ourselves. It is not a matter of spirituality, okay, competition of I'm spiritual. No, it is us humbling ourselves. Lord, help thou our unbelief. All those things you have spoken into our hearts, Lord of glory, Lord, we revive them in our hearts. We allow you to revive them, Lord. Help thou our unbelief. We want them, Lord. We know you have never changed your mind. And so, Lord of glory, thank you for helping us to believe, to hold on, and we receive them once more. Thank you for strengthening our soul, Lord. Strengthening our soul unto peace regarding all your promises for our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord of glory. Thank you for removing doubt and double-mindedness and unbelief from our souls in the name of Jesus. Thank you for strengthening us unto belief. Thank you for strong faith. Faith with your power to keep holding on to your word in our souls in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.